Hello, and welcome to Off the Fence, a podcast where we deconstruct difficult decision-making so we can discover what keeps us stuck, and more importantly, how we can get unstuck and start making even tough decisions with confidence. I'm your host, Karen Covey, a former divorce lawyer, mediator, and arbitrator, turned coach, author, and entrepreneur. And now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. With me today is Alexis Skegan-Rago, and Alexis is the big kahuna at Marketing Mana. She coaches established small business owners to find clarity in message and direction, attract their dream clients, and love their small business. Alexis brings over 25 years of marketing expertise, working with companies of all sizes, covering 33 industries. Alexis enjoys showing up for herself so she can provide value to others, including traveling, exercising, eating chocolate that's worth it, which is big, and being a boy mom. Alexis, welcome to the show.
Oh, aloha, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
It is a joy. And you and I have known each other for a few years. And as we've talked offline, so to speak, I wanted to have you on this show for two main reasons. One is because I know that you have, your own experience with divorce and all the decisions that that presented to you to share, but also as a small business owner, because you've worked for companies, you have worked for yourself, you are a small business owner, and there's a lot of decision making that goes along with that, as both of us know. So I'd like to just start, though, with a little bit about your backstory. How did you get here? What decisions did you make to get you to this place? Where are you at now? Start wherever you want to start.
Sure, absolutely. And also as a mom, I have to make a lot of decisions too.
That's true.
I know I'm not alone. Like, women, we're just real awesome. We really, truly are. What we have to deal with on a daily basis and yearly, it's truly amazing. So I'm blessed to be here with you. You know, for many years, for 25 years, I've been doing marketing, and I started my business about 5.5 years ago at the point of this recording. And it was interesting because I had been part of a large corporation. I was running their email, mobile, and social for over 1,100 white label brands. And unfortunately, the culture was very toxic. I was actually hired in the middle of a mass layoff, and I was laid off in the middle of a more mass, but on a trickling level over a series of months layoff. So when they actually brought me back to the room, you know, and it's my manager, super nice guy, HR, and me. And, you know, he's reading the script. And I said, "Can we please just be human?" And he looked up and he looked at HR and he said, "Can I?" I mean, that's how much fear, and that's not against him. That's how much fear-based, it was a fear-based culture. So I had a pit in my stomach and it went away. So sometimes those decisions that sometimes are made for you, and I had been looking for jobs, I just hadn't secured one yet. Sometimes those decisions that seem really hard are actually so much better for us in the long run. And so that kicked off a year of, do I stay at home and be a stay-at-home mom? You know, we had just moved out to the burbs a couple of years ago. So we had a house, we had lots of repairs, lots of expenses. I had two young kids. One was in preschool, one was in elementary school at the time. And, you know, I was looking for a job because I'm actually one of those moms that prefers to work. I feel that giving my adult mind use during the day helps me. This is not against anyone who chooses to be a stay-at-home mom. I think it's so important. And I do think things would be probably different if I was one. But what was right for me was to be working. And so I kept looking for jobs and I wasn't finding anything. This was back in 2017. And at that time, the job market was good. However, companies were demanding a lot from employees. So when I was looking at marketing director jobs, it was, we want you to do strategy. Great. I love strategy. And by the way, do you know Adobe Illustrator? Because you're going to have to be designing things. Those are two totally different skill sets, different parts of the brain. You do not want someone equally strong in design and strategy. It doesn't happen. And I stink, by the way, as a designer. I'm horrible. That's why I don't do execution anymore. And I focus on strategy. So during that year, I kept looking and I kept seeing these jobs that just were unreasonable. And I did interview. I got to the top two for a position, but they wound up going with somebody else. And then I wound up working with a coach. And this coach, I had four sessions and I went in and I knew I made a decision. When I started, I said, by the end of these 4 weeks, I want to know what I'm going to do next. And that drove the decision, the discussions that drove her assignments to me, that drove the decisions. By the end of the second session, just 2 weeks in, I knew that I was going to open a marketing strategy consulting firm.
Okay. Let me stop you in your journey there because I find this fascinating, right? How did you, because for a while, like it sounds like you were struggling. You didn't know what you wanted to do. Nothing was feeling right to you. You couldn't find the job that you were really looking for, blah, blah, blah. How did you in 2 weeks, what happened in those 2 weeks that made you or helped you make a decision?
So, you know, Dante's Infernos, you know,
yeah,
me not having a decision, that's my inferno. So okay. This had been bubbling for close to a year at that point, or possibly even right at a year mark. One of the assignments she gave me was write a letter to yourself from 5 years in the future to yourself of today. So all of a sudden, and by the way, that 5 years is like now. So all of a sudden, my 10-year-old was 15 and I'm Jewish, which meant he would have had his bar mitzvah. I would now have a teenager. And like that just freaked me out, but it was really good. And what she said is just describe everything in as much detail as possible. And so I wrote, and I mean, I wrote for like 2.5 hours. And by wrote, I mean typing on the computer. And I type quickly and I just went for 2.5 hours going into it. And when I had to describe what I did for work, it was so flat and so without passion. And you know me, I'm super passionate. And it was like, you buckled down and got a job, you got a side gig and this and that, and you're financially stable and there you go. And it literally was like that pitiful of a description. I just couldn't bring myself to do that anymore. And so that was when I started to realize I need to do what I love. I need to do it for myself. And ultimately, I needed to own my time and choices without asking permission. And that was one thing that I was so tired of. When I was working for that last corporation, my younger son was struggling with anxiety and ADHD. And there was one day, I just remember I was working from home and that was a whole fight with, you know, this culture of fear and this culture of not trusting because it wasn't as common as working from home today. And so I'm sitting at my dining room table right behind me. And he came up, he's like 4 years old. He came up, climbed in my lap and hugged me. And I'm typing at my computer, worried that I can't stop work because he's going to learn this as a habit. And I can't have him crawling into my lap, needing that security. And I felt like the shittiest mom in that moment.
Oh my.
And he just like climbed in my lap and just wrapped himself around me and just hugged me. And I was still typing away. I'm sure I probably hugged him for, you know, like 5-10 seconds, but that's not what he needed. And I wasn't there for him. So when I was laid off, that pit went away because I could be there for my kids. And so I made, when I realized this, I made a vow that I would be there for them. Now, truth be told, have there been times when I haven't been able to be there for them as much as I would like to in the past 5.5 years? Yes. But for the most part, I am here when they get home, like 95% of the time. Back then, I had to ask permission to volunteer in their classroom. I don't have to ask permission of anyone.
You mean you had to ask permission from your employer?
Yeah. Because they were so worried that I would miss 20 minutes of work.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was one of the most productive people there. So, you know, I mean, when my SVP allowed me to work from home, he actually said, "So you're going to work during your commuting hours too, right?"
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like their letting you go was, again, in retrospect, the best thing that could have ever happened to you.
It was the best thing. Wow. And I will never, ever have someone talk to me that way again. I will never, you know, initially I said, yes, of course. You know, what else am I going to say? But in my head, I was thinking, that's crazy. Like, I can't believe that he just asked that.
Okay. So I kind of interrupted your story. You were there, you get let go, you're looking for a new job, you go to the coach, you decide, okay, this is it. I'm going to start my own business. Keep going.
And I filed my articles of organization and kicked off my business and learned quickly that it was important to immerse myself in the community. So I got involved in the Naperville Area Chamber of Commerce. That's my local chamber. And I knew no one. I knew, you know, some parents from school, but my corporate job was in a suburb between here and Chicago. So I wasn't part of the local business community.
Yeah.
So I got to know Naperville, which is a wonderful community. It's very supportive of small businesses. Our chamber has over 1,100 members, and there's just tons of programming and social events. And so the first, so funny, this is why I'm not good with design. So the first event I went to was like a women in business wine social. So I went, and I was, I think, about 6 weeks into my business at the time. So I had my magnetic name tag, you know, that I thought was so important to show, you know, that I'm established. It was on order, so I didn't have it yet. And my business cards were also on order, so I didn't have those yet. So a friend said, well, use my computer, use my printer, you know, and I made these postcard size business cards.
Oh,
it was terrible. But I used it as a way to break the ice and say, this is why I do strategy, but here's my contact information. Of course, I heard from no one. But I kept showing up and I kept showing up and I kept showing up and developing those relationships and developing those friendships and understanding that marketing was actually a sore point for many people. Many people, unfortunately, have been burned. They haven't had good experiences. It doesn't meet their expectations. Maybe the marketer that they worked with didn't make sure that they were speaking the same language.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people also may have unrealistic expectations. You know, you put out one thing and you expect it to happen. No, campaigns take 2 to 3 months usually to start to understand what's working, what's not. Any interaction with prospects, typically 5 to 12 touch points before a decision is made, before a conversion happens. Mm-hmm. So it takes time. And I don't know if the previous marketers they had worked with had explained that to them. You know, my approach when working with established small business owners is to coach them. We do immersive style sessions. I help them understand not only the marketing, you know, the theory or the practicality or the framework that I take them through, but also what are their limiting beliefs? What's holding them back? What are their marketing challenges? Is it really, I just need to fill seats, you know, butts in seats, or is it, I don't know, maybe understanding their pain.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes people will say, well, I need a flyer or I need an email, or I need a social media campaign, or I need whatever. But we need to move back and we need to start with the fundamentals. And that is, you know, what I do is I help them gain clarity in message and direction. So you have to take action through understanding. So I love decisions. I make them all the time. Sometimes they're wrong.
You know, well, that's an important thing to for people to hear and understand is that when you're making a decision, sometimes you're not going to make what feels like the right decision in the moment. Although I would say that, you know, you really never know whether something is the right, air quotes, decision or not until after some time has gone by and you can look back in retrospect and be able to evaluate it. But, you know, you mentioned limiting beliefs, right? And I know that's something that a lot of small business owners struggle with. Mm-hmm. It's also something that it's not necessarily languaged that way in a marriage situation that you have a limiting belief that life has to be this way. But I work with a lot of people who are struggling in marriages that aren't working for them, aren't fulfilling. They know they need to go, you know, get out of it, but they have one or more limiting beliefs around the marriage and what life would be like if they left it, right?
Absolutely.
Is that something that you had to deal with as you went through your own divorce?
Yeah. And so I'm actually still going through my divorce. Luckily, it's an amicable one, but that was a choice, right? That was a choice.
More about that.
Well, so you hear so many times about these knockdown, drag out divorces, going to court, having kids have to, you know, pick. We didn't want that. But I knew staying in my marriage was not something I wanted my kids to model. It wasn't, you know, people say do what's best for the kids, so we'll stay together for the kids. Well, that's not good if there's tension in the home. That's not good if you're not modeling. You know, my parents are still married. They're super cute, very dependent on each other. That's a whole different topic. But they love each other. They absolutely love and respect each other. Now, does my dad annoy my mom? Sure. Does my mom annoy my dad? Sure. They've been married for 50 some odd years. That's gonna happen. 60? How? Oh, they got married in 68. It's been a long time. So it's about really making sure that you are creating the home and the family, air quotes, that is right for you. So does family have to mean a mom, a dad, and a kid? No, it doesn't. By being divorced, they still have their dad.
Right.
They still have their mom. Maybe they'll be able to see us both in our next relationships happier. That's what I want. I want to raise, and I have two sons, and they're 12 and 15 right now. Very, you know, impressionable ages. And kids today go through a lot more than we ever did with social media and all the pressures and what have you that we went through when we were growing up. But social media definitely makes it harder. It's really important to know what you want to teach your kids. And as a mom of boys, I want to make sure that I am raising young men who are respectful to women or their partners, whoever. They should be respectful to everyone. They treat their future spouse with respect and honesty and communicate clearly, that they know how to navigate their emotions. And that's not easy for boys. And that they are able to show love.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I want. And unfortunately, that was not what was happening in my own home. It didn't start out that way. You know, we were married for about 15 years and I realized I can't do this anymore. I'm not being true to who I am. I think part of it happened because as a business owner, you do so much growth, or you should be growing. I personally was growing. And I remember during COVID saying, hey, you know, I teach core values. I teach mission, purpose-driven mission. I teach vision. This is what I do with my business owners. It's where I start with all of my clients because it's so important, because it's so fundamental. Understanding your why, understanding what drives you, understanding who you are serving. And Karen, you do an amazing job of serving your clients. You know, reading, I was just one of my friends this morning actually was going through something and I said, go to KarenCovey.com, C-O-V-Y. She gets in your head. I'm always like, Karen, get out of my head. You understand this so well.
And thank it's just, you.
It's so important what you do. So thank you for doing what you do. But being able to have that for our family, I wanted to do our core values. I wanted to do a mission for our family. And my husband said, no. And I was
just
like,
no,
just no, had no interest in doing it. And that broke me. That broke my heart. That wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back, but you know, that was one of the contributing factors. And I realized I'm growing and growing and he's not willing to. And that's a shame because when you divorce, you know, I lost my best friend. I lost my husband. I lost my partner. As a parent, yes, he's still active and he is a co-parent and we talk and communicate, but not in the same home all the time. It's just different.
Yeah.
So it's more, I'm updating him rather than experiencing it with him.
Yeah.
So,
you know, because you are a small business owner, you work with small business owners, and because of your own personal experience with divorce, I want to ask you something that I hear from clients so often. It's that, look, I'm a business owner. I can make decisions, or I'm up in my career. I'm an executive level. I can make decisions at work. Boom, boom, but no problem. But the family, like the home decisions, like what do I do with my marriage? Like I've been stuck for years. How did you manage to navigate those decisions? Because as a business owner, it sounds like you're making decisions all the time too. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you transfer that skill set, or what did you take from the work and the ability to make decisions at work into your personal life to help you make those big decisions?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think part of it was, what do I want for my kids in the future? And is the current life giving that to them? The other thing was I felt lonely. And I realized I would rather be alone than lonely. And I was willing to walk away because it was what's best for me. If I'm not feeling fulfilled, if I'm choosing to work all hours of all days to avoid my personal life, that's not good.
No,
that's not good. And so, and you know, this had been going on for years, not, you know, it gradually getting worse, right? So at first it was maybe a few days here or there, and then maybe it was a little more frequently, and then it was happening like every month and then every week. And then I felt like I had a roommate. I'm sure you hear that.
Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, like, because so many people, especially small business owners, fall into that trap of, well, I've just got to work a little more. I've got to work a little more. I need to get this done or that done, whatever it is. At what point or how did you make that realization that you weren't working because it was a business necessity, but because it was a personal escape?
Yeah. I think I always knew, but I felt, you know, because it was very hard to pinpoint what was wrong, what wasn't going right, what happened. And so, you know, he wasn't disrespectful to me to my face. you know, so there wasn't, you know, verbal abuse happening. It, you know, there just weren't those like, oh, I can do that. Eventually there was there's a ticket. He made a big mistake. That's not okay. That doesn't align with my core values, which he was aware of, my core values. And that was this happens, we're done. Something happened, we were done. So it became very easy at that point. What became difficult was my entire future was wiped clean.
I'm so glad you said that, because I really wanted to dive into this with you, because you are so good with and big on visioning, right? What do you want your life to look like? What do you want your future to look like? Well, when something like a divorce happens, it does wipe the slate clean, because the vision that you thought you had, or the life you thought you were going to have, mm-hmm. is now not happening, right? So how do you go about recreating a new vision that is in line with what you want and what your values are?
Absolutely. And it was like, at first, it's so shocking, you know, because for almost 20 years, I had this vision and whoosh, wiped, gone. So I can look at it in two ways, right? We were talking about limiting beliefs before. I can look at it in two ways. I can say, everything I ever dreamed of is now gone. It's not going to happen. Or I can say, I have a clean slate and I can build whatever I want. And I quickly moved from that first thought of gone to clean slate.
Okay. Now you might have quickly moved, but you are, shall we say, perhaps a little unusual in that.
I am very unusual.
So a lot of people get stuck there, and yeah. rightly so, because it's, this is huge. When your entire, you know, vision yeah. for your future is gone, it is shocking. So can you share any tips with people that will help them to vision, to get beyond that pain, because there's a certain grieving process that has to happen, yeah. but how can people get from that grieving process to the point where they can actually see a future for themselves?
Yeah. And there were a couple of things. First of all, as soon as I said, you're out, I started seeing a therapist every single week. I still see her every single week. So we're going on what, over a year and a half. And I think we've missed three, because she was on vacation, I was on vacation, or there was a whatever. Okay. Every single week. I also journal. I journal incredibly, a ton. There's actually a great website called privatework.com. And it's this guy, Joe Stump. And he has all of these different primers. And then you can do a 1 hour. I've done it once. That's a big time commitment, but he has 1 minute ones. So maybe there's like 3 minutes of like input, and then he gives you a question and you write for a minute, and then there's a little conclusion. So we're talking 5 to 10 minutes tops. I find writing very therapeutic. What I always say, because you know, some of my girlfriends who are in their 50s have said, but what do I write about? You know, how do I journal? And I said, you just free flow. And just because you write it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you wrote something down, if you're working something out, that doesn't mean that has to happen. So, you know, if you're really angry, or you're really upset, or you're, you know, thinking about like how you could have done something different, and you just start getting really down on yourself, just get it out, let it flow, let those emotions flow, and then you can move on. So I was writing. I also read Jen Sincero's You Are a Badass, or I had read that previously. I read Badass Habits. And I read that probably about 3 or 4 months after we were separated. And it's so silly. But in the book, she's like, okay, pick one habit. So of course, you know, you start off with a list of 10. Of course, my list is like 20, right? It's just like, you got to pick one. So throughout the book, she gives you guided exercises. So I'm doing them, I'm journaling about them. And I say, okay, I want to focus on organization, my piles of papers, like papers are all over. You can't see them, but they do exist. So they're all over. And I realized going through her exercises that I was putting myself last. Because in my mind, when we would clean the house, I would figure, well, my office only impacts me. So where can I clean that will impact the whole family?
Such a great insight.
Yeah. And I was like, oh. I was so frustrated. I'm like, I became one of those people who doesn't put herself first. I'm like, that's not me. But it was.
Yeah.
So that was very eye-opening. So through the journaling, through that exercise, I was really just focusing. And also in my business, right, I coach people about their business vision. Okay. In 2 hours, I can define your core values, up to 7 of them, and a purpose-driven mission. And from there, we can talk about your vision. So when I realized I had a clean slate, and I couldn't figure out what I wanted my future to be, all I could visualize was me back in Hawaii, because that's where I'm from, my hair blowing in the wind, in the breeze. I'm on a lanai, a balcony, looking out over the ocean. And if I turned around, there was nothing. It was just beige. No furniture, no nothing. Nobody was with me, nothing. I couldn't see anything. And I was like, oh my God, I do this for a living. Why can't I create my vision? Because you asked, how do you create your vision? And then I thought, okay, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. And over the next couple weeks, it's in my head going, come on, get this vision out, like figure it out. You know, I know I'll be in Naperville until my youngest gets out of high school, but then what? And I have a Remarkable, which is like a digital tablet. And they have these templates, and there was a storyboard template. So normal size sheet of paper kind of thing, but 4 big boxes. And under each of the boxes were like maybe 5 or 6 lines. So not a lot of space to commit to. The box is supposed to be a design aspect. And well, let's just say mine ended up having stick figures in them because I really do not have talent there. But I thought, okay, I had been scrolling through Facebook and saw some women that I really enjoy hanging out with, and they do storytelling. And every time I'm with them, I get happy. And I thought, It was end of the year. So, right, doing your annual, your New Year's resolutions. And I thought, huh, I want to be in their life. I want to not become them, but I want to share my time with them. Whether that means I'm storytelling, whether that means I'm volunteering for them or I'm going to the shows, something, that's what I want to do. And so that's when I opened up my Remarkable. I found that template, and that was my first thing. So I wound up creating a little vignette. And then something else sparked, and something else, and something else. Next thing I know, within a few days, I have 28 vignettes of my vision of what I want in my future. So can I summarize it in one sentence? No. But do I have 28 things that I want to work towards? Yes. And so that's how I was able to get my vision, just by breaking it down into smaller things, recognizing different parts of my life, spirituality, family, business, health, exercise, relationships, community, volunteering, whatever it was, I was able to create these little achievable steps. And now I don't have a blank slate. I don't have it perfectly colored in yet either. And that's okay. Because who I am today is not who I'm going to be in 5 or 6 years.
100%. And I think what I'd like to point out about that is you actually did more than that. What I'm hearing that you did is, number one, you put the question out there into your subconscious mind, into the ether, into whatever. You put the question out there. When you turned and you only saw beige, you said, I want to be able to create a future. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And like you said, the answers were already inside of you. You just had to dig them up. But it starts by, and I know this sounds basic to people, but it starts by asking the question.
Absolutely.
You got to, and you asked the question and then paid attention for the answers to come, which is all about focus. And then the third thing you did was take action. You opened the remarkable. You started to write down things. You didn't say, well, I won't write it down until I have the whole thing perfectly planned out. You just started. And so there is so much in there for other people who are listening to do, that it starts by looking, asking the question, being open to receive an answer, and being willing to take action when you do, and not just blow it off and go, oh no, that's not important, or that's not really all I want, or it's not perfect, right? How many times do we stop ourselves because it's not perfect?
Yeah, I am a recovering perfectionist. But how earlier I was saying, you know, just because you write it down doesn't mean it has to come true. So from time to time, I go back and I look at my 28 things, because it helps to go back and read what you have written as your goals. That helps you focus. That helps keep it top of mind, intentional, mindful. I may one day look and say, you know what? No, that doesn't seem important to me right now. And then it's okay to erase it or just move on.
Yeah.
Because it's written doesn't mean it has to happen.
100%. I mean, there's such gold in what you're saying, because so many times we think that once we make a decision or write something down or decide, like say, this is what I want, that you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. You can't ever change your mind. And that's
I'm getting divorced. You're not stuck with any decision, you know?
Yeah. I mean, more often than not, there's always a way to iterate, tweak, change, move, what have you. And this is golden. It sounds like you can use a similar process in business and in your personal life. Like this, what you're talking about sounds to me like it would work in either context, or am I missing something?
No, it totally does. Absolutely. Now with business, typically I will say, you know, when we're figuring out strategies, have a SMART goal: specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-based. With business, you do need to be focused and mindful about your mission and your vision. You don't want that changing so often. It's fine to evaluate, but you don't want to just because something doesn't work doesn't mean you scrap it, right? Edison failed, right? No, he just found 10,000 ways a light bulb doesn't work. So I like the FAIL acronym of first attempt in learning. And with perfectionism, it was stunting my growth as a business owner with my first website, with, you know, anything, with an email, with a blog post, anything. It was slowing it down. And all I need to remember is, if my dream client is in front of me saying, please help me, am I really going to say, oh no, but I need to rephrase this one thing? Yeah. You just sit in pain while I work some things out. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I can to serve my dream client.
That makes a lot of sense. Alexis, I think that we could probably talk for hours. But in the interest of saving, you know, your time, being respectful of your time and of our listeners' time, I think I'd like to wrap this up. But just one final question. If you had one piece of advice to give someone who is facing a major decision, a major life change, whether that's personal, whether that's business, what would you share with them?
I would say take the time to really reflect. Does this reflect your core values? Your core values are such a great decision screener. And ultimately, you know, that realization when I read that chapter, you know, when I realized I was putting everybody else's needs ahead of mine, the limiting beliefs. We are a family unit. We all need to stay under one roof. That's a big one. Really ask yourself, what is the benefit of making this decision? Is it aligned with who I am, who I want to be? Does it align with my values? And if other people aren't on board with it, well, you may have some other decisions to make.
Yeah. Such great advice. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And I just wanted to say, I know you have a gift for our listeners. So can you tell me about that?
I do. So as we had talked about when I entered the entrepreneurial world, networking, and I, even though I am an extrovert and I love meeting people and I've done it every single day since I went to college, always met at least one new person a day. I was terrible at networking, and I saw other people, well, they had some room for improvement as well. So after attending over 500 networking events and meetings in a matter of just 4 years-ish, I created a framework for business owners to network and create unforgettable introductions, attract your dream clients, and network fearlessly. And the bit.ly where you can go and learn more is bit.ly/network-fearlessly. And the promo code for $50 off for your listeners is, guess what? Take action, all in caps. So one word, take action. You'll get $50 off of this course. During the course, it's not only the 30-second introduction, what you say, but it's how you say it, why you're saying it, who you're saying it to, different people that you meet. It's not only about meeting your prospective clients. There's lots of other different, you know, roles that we interact with. And we talk about manifesting the right mindset, following up, following through. It's a huge course, 29 videos spread out over 2.25 hours. It is packed full of value. There are 5 worksheets. And I truly believe that this is life-changing for any small business owner who wants to have better effects or effectiveness while they're networking.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Alexis. And one last question, where can people find you? If they were looking for you, if they were interested in connecting or maybe in doing business with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Sure. I actually have a digital business card. So, and that has all of my social media and some of my landing pages. So it's .dot.cards/AlohaAlexis, all in lowercase. So AlohaAlexis .dot.cards/AlohaAlexis.
You are so progressive. I love it. I love it. And I've loved talking to you. I think that there's so much that you've shared that can help other people out there in their business, in their personal life, in making decisions, because that's really what all of this is about. So thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our time. And for those of you who are out there watching or listening, if you enjoyed this episode, if you like what you heard, if you want to hear more episodes just like this, then please do me a big favor, like, subscribe. It makes a huge difference to me and to the show. And I look forward to seeing you all again next time.